Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details. Don't be surprised if I ask what a bag is.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Gold Diggers podcast, the women's football episode. I am here with two fantastic panelists. To my left, I have
Marva at Marva MSK
and Lauren at Lauren Coys.
And I'm hosting today, Moyo at Moyo's Laboratory. As always, make sure to follow on Twitter, GoldDiggersUK_ on Instagram. So GoldDiggersUK_ and GoldDiggersUK on Twitter.
Every week.
Yeah, I know. There's always
one day.
Perfect. So a lot has been happening this week and there's a lot happening this weekend. So we may as well start. Actually, let's do it so we split up in two bits. So we'll go the fixtures that are coming up this weekend first. We're starting off with the Merseyside derby. So it would be wrong of me to not, first of all, go to our resident Everton fan. Marva, what are we saying for that game?
Listen, we have to win it. We have to because, I don't know if you lot saw, there was that bloody button pressing thing in the town square. Yes. It said Merseyside is red. Is it because we won 3-0 at Anfield, so I don't know if it works like that. But Liverpool are in a good run of form at the moment. Mm-hmm. And I think they have more momentum than us, in the sense of I think they still have more to play for than us, weirdly. Because they want to end the season. Obviously, everyone wants to end the season strong, but I think they want to prove that they're so far out of the relegation battle.
Yeah, they're not safe.
Yeah,
safe,
yeah.
But not safe.
Mm-hmm. Whereas we're just kind of like, yeah, cool, all right, probably won't catch Villa now. Other than that, we're safe. Like,
end where you are right now.
Yeah, which is fine. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? It's been a pretty good season, good moment. So, but I think it'll be nice to, I think this will be another thing to add to our season. I think it's what will make it a more successful season. Is cool, not only have we now beaten most of the teams below us, we've been consistent in that sense, starting to do better against the teams above us, not getting battered in the same way anymore. You know, playing with a distinct style of play, bringing some new people forward, new manager, like all of that stuff's great. 3-0 win at Anfield. Let's get a nice win at Goodison. And it's a good...
Lots of tickets sold.
God, I can't be there. I've got to go to a hen do, so...
I mean...
In Brighton, so... I mean, this person won't listen to the
podcast. I was going to say, it doesn't sound
too good. She's a good friend
good.
Of mine, but... It'll be a good time, but I'm like, really, this weekend? Like, yeah. I was ready to go, so I'm gutted I can't be there. But, unless it happens next season, it could be the last time Everton women play at Goodison. So, because obviously we're moving to a new stadium in not next season, but the one after. So, it'll be a big game. I think Everton fans will be well up for it. I think the atmosphere will be very, very good. Mm-hmm. It should be an exciting one. I just hope we get the win.
Lauren, do you think that Everton are going to get the win?
Yeah, I think Everton will win. I think, you know, a big crowd at Goodison, under lights, it's a derby, Yeah, I think, to be honest, I think the occasion speaks for itself, but mm-hmm. I just generally think Everton are a better footballing team. So, mm-hmm. Like you said, there's patterns of play. Everton have a recognisable style. So I think if you get it right, I don't see how Liverpool get anything from the game, to be honest. But anything can happen on Derby Day. But yeah.
To be fair, I thought that about Liverpool and Spurs, but then
yeah, it's true.
Okay.
It's true. You were just touching on that, Marva, with about Everton's playing style this season mm-hmm. and the growth you've seen. What for you would be the next step for Everton?
I think it's either you go on a cup run, mm-hmm. like we've seen Villa do.
True.
Or it's that you get more results against the teams above you.
Sure.
So that's why we've had a downfall. Even in terms of like the Villa game, it was when they were above us that we've lost to them. And quite comfortably as well. And then in the cup, it was a bit disappointing of sort of not doing well against teams lower than us, which was odd because, I just don't know if they cared enough, maybe, if that kind of wasn't the focus. But I think, especially in a league like the WSL, when, you know, there isn't Europa League to play for, mm-hmm. the likelihood of us getting top three is very low. Yeah. We're solid enough now, hopefully, mm-hmm. touch wood, to be out of relegation battles for the foreseeable future. Because I've got enough of that going on with Everton. Don't need it for the women as well.
It's true.
The next step has to be either sort of some good cup runs that we can kind of, that fans can get really into, mm-hmm. or... kind of setting your expectations a little bit higher in the league. Mm-hmm. Not to say I'm expecting top three or anything like that, but I think just that step up of, can you now attract bigger prospects as well? Because are you starting to at least not challenge for the top three, but are you starting to put some pressure on top? Are you starting to close the gap, mm-hmm. I would say? So, and then once you start doing that, as we've seen with Villa, you can attract, you know, higher prospects as well, and then I think that gap only closes further, and that's what we need for the league.
Completely agree.
So yeah, hopefully they create a Europa League for women, but we'll see about that. That may take a little bit of time.
It may, but I think it'd be a good idea.
I think it'd be a great idea, 100%.
Especially because there's not even just on a WSL, like I said, there's a lot of good teams,
you know, that could coming benefit through and, from different
And think also, of some of the teams that got knocked out in qualifiers of the Champions League.
Yeah, I think it's also just a way of scouting, and then people get put in the shop window because they're maybe playing against, you know, a WSL team if they're playing in Spain. And I just think it will be a lot easier to, you know, to test yourself. I think sometimes because there are hardly any teams in the WSL, it's kind of like you kind of know how the pattern of the game is going to go. So mm-hmm. I actually think playing different styles of football, and then also if there is kind of games between European clubs, we may actually we just may see more transfers, mm-hmm. And more teams taking a chance. But I think you're right, when you get to that middle ground, and it's a case of we're a long way off, kind of not that long, but trying to reach the top three, and you need to give other teams, like the mid-table teams, kind of something to play for. It would be nice.
Okay,
and like you said as well, like, you know, it was Real Madrid versus Man City, you know, in a Champions League playoff. Yeah. Like,
there was no need for that.
Well, both of those teams should be in the Champions League. Yeah, exactly. But if you're not going to make them in the Champions League, then they've got to be playing some other type of European football.
Yeah. It can't be you're not in Champions League here.
Next season.
Yeah. Where's your Conti Cup group stage instead? It's crap.
That is true.
This is so silly. Thanks for that, Marva. We also have another derby this weekend, North London derby.
I'm sure Lauren is just as positive as I am about it.
I'm more positive about my clothes.
Yeah. Lauren, tell me about what you think that game is going to look like, and how do you see your chances?
The pause was a long pause. That pause was loud.
It's really hard because I know, like, Women's Football Weekend, and it gets a lot of eyes on it, mm-hmm. and the scheduling. They want to put big games on, but when you're always on the wrong end of a derby, like, I don't have the same excitement that everyone else.
They're like Chelsea does. Spurs, Arsenal Spurs, and you're like,
you know, you pass on TV, you give us the big build up, and we get battered. Like,
every time as well.
You're like, can we not do Spurs Brighton?
No, honestly.
I just think, I mean, we did get our first point of Arsenal last season.
Yikes.
But yeah, I think it's a derby where for us to get anything, it would require us to be exceptional and it would require Arsenal to be really bad.
Yeah.
I don't know, obviously, this game is sandwiched in between their Champions League games. We may see some squad rotation, but even the squad rotation is...
could damage you lot. Potentially.
Yeah, that was harsh. Could damage you.
I don't know. To me, what I want to see from the game is, like, you know, I'm a fan of the club. And when you if you come to play for my team, you become a custodian. And I need to see you play for the badge, play for the shirt, turn up. It's a derby. I do think, ding, 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 it will be the next round of, I don't know what number round, but after the Ash Neville, Katie McCabe scrap that we see every time in this game.
That scrap is just so funny because it's always like you're already losing. At this point, I get it because I'll start scrapping as well.
Get some pride.
The one last season at the Emirates. And that picture of like McCabe like trying to swing for, I don't know who it was. But yeah, I think that's what I want to see. I don't actually know what I'm expecting because I think I feel like when Rian was sacked and the club statement was kind of Vicky's interim for the Leicester game, but I just think, you know, there's a dark cloud over Spurs at the moment. There's a lot going on, the Antonio Conte situation. So I just think the women's team has kind of been left. So I'm not sure whether it was the plan. I don't know if she's going to... There's been no communication whether she's staying to the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
But she's had 10 days. I would like to see if we're going to approach the game a little bit differently. I think the game against Leicester was very much, it just looked like a Rian team.
Mm.
It was only a couple of days. But yeah, I just think show up. It's a derby. Play like it's a derby. And keep the scoreline respectable. There's no shame in losing to Arsenal. But if you get battered, it's embarrassing.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of neutrals tend to kind of watch this game, or people that maybe follow Arsenal men's, but then they'll kind of have an eye on the women's North London derby. So I sometimes think the big build up when you lose them heavily, you can have a negative effect because people then look and be, oh, the women's team are crap, I'm not going to watch them.
Yeah.
So it's just about showing up, keeping that scoreline respectable, have a go. I think winning the game against Leicester, it's almost like a free hit. We're not like, there's a bit of breathing space, but yeah, it's hard for me to get excited because until we get to closer to Arsenal in terms of club stature, quality, I'm not nervous when I wake up in the morning because you know
you're expecting the L result.
Yeah.
That's what it's been like being an Everton men's fan in the derby for about 10 like, years. To be fair, you're so
just like, oh, here we go.
To you, what are your thoughts on what you think that North London derby is going to look like?
Basically everything that Lauren said. I'll be very surprised if Spurs got anything from it. I think, you know, obviously they're fighting for something, though, not even just in terms of pride of a derby. They are actually fighting in terms of relegation. I think you'll have a lot of players who are, especially Beth England, who will
she'll
be
no, up for it. She'll no, be... no, no, Beachy, no.
Yeah, I was going to say. No.
Yo, Beachy.
Yeah.
Jonas don't care, man. Let's be real.
I was wondering if it was one of those, you know, in like some competitions you're allowed to play.
Yeah, I know. I don't think
you're not supposed to be going to say you can play if you want to play. Like, that's not your own forgive.
We'll give you a head start. You can play. Don't worry about it. She needs the minutes. She'll be back to us you know, it's like, you know, in training ground, you just grab your team. A team, you're B team. You're like, yeah,
you can have that. You can have the extra man.
If there's still time, if you're allowed to play.
I can't see anything particularly more than that, but I'm excited to see it. I think it will still be a good game. It's not like Arsenal are they're not particularly battering teams at the moment. I know they won 4-0 the other day, but they've had a lot of games where even though they're creating the chances, they haven't converted them. So you might get a game like that. Like even in the game against Everton, actually, they sort of battered us on chances, but it was only 1-0.
I completely agree.
When you have games like that, there's always a chance you could get something, especially when you've got
like the West Ham game. West Ham.
But what have you guys seen something in Spurs training that I haven't started to learn how to defend?
We haven't. You're probably going to get smacked.
We haven't, but you never know. Given how, you know, how some of Arsenal games have gone at the moment, but they'll also probably be up for this one, so. Yeah. We'll see.
It's gonna be a tough game, but yeah, good luck to the team. Yeah, I just think we're going to be outnumbered at home. So, yeah, in a way, I'm kind of glad it hasn't been put in the big stadium, because, again, I don't necessarily think, you know, we struggle to keep possession, putting us on a big pitch with a lot of eyes. I don't necessarily think that helps us out.
Do you think that was a tactical decision, or do you think it was like they just...
I think so, because it's international break. It's not like anyone's using the pitch, so... Yeah, because I think maybe it was 2019. Like our attendance record is the North London Derby, but we lost that, you know, really easily. And I think, you know, even the Man United game was the first game where I think it's been a big team, so it attracted a bigger crowd, but we were actually in the game.
Yeah, you were.
But I think you really run the risk of losing.
Of it and it backfiring and you kind of don't get people coming as much.
Yeah, again. And I actually think I could understand it when we were at the Hive, because that was so far away from Tottenham. Like, it was long and the pitch was terrible. So it's kind of like, if you're going to put us on TV, it looks bad. Yeah. But Leighton's only down the road. And the connection between Spurs and Leighton Orient
and public transport
until we can sell out more than one stand at Leighton Orient's ground, you know, there's no need to move us to the big stadium. It's not, you know, we don't have a massive following as a Spurs team, but I think that will come when we sign bigger players and get better results. Maybe Saturday could be the start. Probably not, but yeah.
Both made really good points there on like building rivalries almost. Obviously those are two derbies, and what I was going to say is that, like, I think the next step for the league, well, not the next step because it's going to take time, but it would just be great if every team had a good amount of good players.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would love for more top players to come to WSL. I don't want to really go into games and be like, oh yeah, this is defo happening. Like, do you not feel like women's football is probably the easiest thing to bet on in the world?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? People should jump on that before it's
before they start regulating. Let me not speak.
Gatekeep.
Yeah,
listen, don't let Faye hear this.
No one her first day of Ramadan. Her first day trying out Ramadan.
When the fun stops, stop, man. But yeah, it would be great to like go into games. Like, I don't really want to look at the North London Derby and be like, oh, Arsenal going to smack you, and then be right.
Yeah.
Like, even though it's funny, like for the first couple times, the fifth, sixth, or however many times it's been it's just like, what is this?
Yeah. You know what I mean? Because I think as a fan of, like, especially being like a smaller team, you know, the fixtures come out and you can basically go down and be, oh, possible 3 points, mm-hmm. 3 points, 0 points, 0 points.
Yeah.
And it's you know, it's very, very, very predictable.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, yeah, we need more players. And maybe that does come from, you know, more cross collaboration between the leagues. So we see people, like, we do see like a Europa League and we see other teams playing each other. But yeah, I think it's just hard. I think the marketing needs a bit of work, a lot of work from the clubs, because I think you will see big players go to the likes of Chelsea, or because, you know, they're playing in the Champions League. But in terms of, you know, there are some really good players in the NWSL, and apart from that season when they couldn't play in the NWSL, so they all came here to play, I just don't think we don't see enough.
But then I don't know if it's also a timing case, because with the World Cup this year, more eyes will be on it than ever, especially in England.
Yeah.
Then you'll get to know players from across the world, whereas, like, a lot of people who were watching the Euros this year, like, now know loads of the Lionesses.
Yeah.
I might know a few, like, you know, like a Magdalena Eriksson or a Pernille Harder, and like players like that, you get to know, especially if they have good tournaments.
Mm-hmm. Completely agree.
So, but I just think that in the Euros, actually, a lot of teams, the best players, like in Germany, a lot of the best players in Germany play in Germany, and the same with quite a lot of the other teams. So, especially like France. So maybe it's a case of when it comes to the World Cup, because there are a lot of teams like in this, like Australia, and where you have a lot of those players playing in the WSL, but people just don't really think of them as big stars yet, or don't know them yet.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe having this World Cup will help that a bit more, was there's just a few more recognizable players.
Yeah.
The general public are just, you know, it just takes one person to score like a worldie that goes a bit viral and people all like a little skills compilation. One moment people start to know that it's like, oh, she plays for my club. Like,
yeah, let me find out what, because that's literally, that's literally how it happens as well. Like, you were just saying it with the NWSL. There's so many players, American players, that people who don't necessarily see them on a week-to-week basis are going to be shocked level. Yeah. Like, we were all at the England-USA game. Yeah. We all saw Sophia Smith.
Yeah.
That, and for people that only watch WSL, for example, I feel like when they see someone like Sophia Smith, they're going to be like...
But also like the source levels.
Yeah, yeah. Because you know, like, right now it feels like when you're looking for that in the WSL, all you can really say is Laura James.
It's not quite there. Whereas like the USA team, like they've just got some players that you look at and you just go superstar. Like,
yeah, because you want to watch them because they're exciting. Like, mm-hmm.
Completely agree.
But I think it's also about accessibility. Like we're talking about, oh, okay, you know, eyes on the World Cup. Has the broadcasting rights been sorted? Mm-hmm. Not yet, as far as we know. Obviously, and I think, you know, the debate is the timing of games when people watch. People, you know, you're thinking about your return on investment, but it's about providing pathways mm-hmm. for people to have access to
Completely
games.
Agree.
I think the NWSL have recognised this season, and they're saying, oh, if you sign up, we'll broadcast the games for you. And they're doing kind of like the FA player. Mm-hmm. And I think you've got to have, whilst the game is still growing, yes, it may be seen as a lost leader, but you've got to give people accessibility mm-hmm. to be able to, you know, everyone's maxed out on subscriptions already. Right. So you need to be able to put those games on. So when you do see someone and you think, oh, who do they play for? I want to watch them again. You don't have to think, oh, I can't afford this, or actually the rights are not there in my country. So, yeah, I think progress will be made, but there needs to be kind of more investment, but not with that kind of ROI head on, because mm-hmm. I just think women's football at the moment, it just still needs to be more investment rather than thinking about profit.
Yeah, agreed. That was a lovely discussion that wasn't ended, like we ended up getting there, but wasn't intended. There's still two more fixtures I want to talk about mm-hmm. for this week. A big one at the top / near the top of the table. Man City versus Chelsea.
Yeah.
So they've already played each other once this season. It was 1-0. Was it 1?
Yeah.
It was 1-0.
No, 2-0.
It was 2-0.
Two.
I ended up being
it was
two.
Right at the end. Yeah.
So it was 2-0 to Chelsea. This tie is going to be at Man City's ground. So they're at home for this game. Mm-hmm. What do you think both teams are going to be thinking going into it? And how do you think the game is going to turn out?
I think City could surprise us here.
Same. And I don't even know if it'll be a surprise.
Yeah.
I don't think I'll be surprised.
Like, I think they're that kind of weird team that, when you think they're not doing that well, they'll just kind of slightly surprise. Even in that game actually against Chelsea, when they'd been on quite a bad run of form right at the beginning, mm-hmm. and everyone's like, it's going to be a battering.
But, and it wasn't.
They should have scored immediately
Twice.
After.
Should have scored.
Yeah, and they should have scored immediately after. Who scored first? Was it Kirby?
Yeah, it was Kirby. And then Brighton or something like that.
I think it was just a really good save. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think they were surprised. Also, like, they're out of the FA Cup now. That was a big disappointment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They haven't got Champions League. Chelsea are going to have to be wary of Champions. And we know that, listen, the league for Chelsea, they've been there, done that. Like, mm-hmm. they'll think that even if they lose this, they can still win the league.
They have a gap.
Yeah.
To lose and still be top, to be fair.
Yeah, yeah. So they're going to have to be careful in terms of their squad rotation. Like, they have to be prioritising Leon. I don't care what... Yeah, like, do you know what I mean? I know they might say, like, oh, every game is important. I'm like, you know that Champions League is where their head is at.
I would accuse them of being unprofessional. If you turn up and you're not, and your mind isn't on Leon, you're being unprofessional.
You're lying to yourself
because Emma Hayes, that's what she wants. She's won every other trophy. Mm. She wants the Champions League. And I think she's going to have to rotate at the end of the day if you want the fresh team.
Do you think, though, that their squad depth is big enough for their rotation to still look
like... Not against City.
But that's why I think that City could get something, because, to be honest, even in games where Chelsea have played their full strength 11, they've had nervy moments in a lot of games this season. like even the United game, I know they kind of were pretty comfortable in mm-hmm. the end, but there were still moments, you know, yeah. and you saw it against Arsenal in the Conte Cup. It's like, if you give a team, there's always moments against Chelsea, and mm-hmm. I feel like that's happened this season mm-hmm. too much, especially from their point of view and from Emma Hayes' point of view. I'm sure she wouldn't want that. Mm-hmm. There's been too many moments to other teams, and if you grab that early, then I think Chelsea struggle quite a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
I agree. But yeah, you say this and then Chelsea just comfortably win.
I watched the Chelsea-Reading FA Cup game, and that was a heavily rotated side, even to the point where she brought the academy players off. On rather than using some of the firepower on the bench.
She said, we got a game to win midweek. I don't give a toss about this game.
Like, if you look at the scoreline, you think, oh, cool, rotation, they won the game, but Reading gave them all of their goals. So mm-hmm. I think if she does rotate, I think she's going to have to. Yeah, I think City, there's still quality. Much quality in City's kind of starting 11. Yes, they don't have the squad there, but in terms of can they punish, and also, we haven't mentioned it, Millie Bright,
that
injury. She's one of the players that not just Chelsea can afford to lose. England can't afford to lose. Mm-hmm. Can't afford to lose her. And I think when you remove, there's not many Chelsea games that you can recall where she doesn't play. She kind of just plays every game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a big loss. And I think, you know, if I'm Bunny Shaw, I'm just doing some extra stretches and, you know, getting ready for the game, because, you know, Millie's the heart of that Chelsea defence.
I wanted to see Millie Bright against Bunny Shaw. Same again. I needed to see that again.
Well, hopefully the scan was good.
Yeah, yeah.
But even so, I think she's somebody that, even if she is fine, will she be risked knowing that Lyon is midweek? Probably not. So.
I agree with both of you, to be honest. I've always kind of said that I feel like matchup-wise, City is the hardest for Chelsea. Like, even not just this season, the seasons before, I've always felt as though that matchup stylistically was the worst for Chelsea as compared to like an Arsenal. Even though the Arsenal I feel like stylistically, City has always been an issue for Chelsea. Like, when I think about it, there's been so many closely contested games. Do you remember that season that it was Chelsea and City at the top of the table and they played each other the penultimate game?
Yeah, yeah.
And it was like Chelsea scored, City scored like 2 minutes later. Yeah. Chelsea scored again, City scored 2 minutes. And I think it finished 2-2. And I remember after the game, because Emma Hayes was so happy because right at the end, City was supposed to score.
Yeah.
And I just always feel as though Chelsea have to turn up to beat City. That's probably the one team that they can't coast and beat.
Because of City's pace and the width, they can... They're the one team that kind of can expose the Chelsea defence, because they make it really difficult. And then obviously they've got Bunny Shaw through the middle. So whereas I think when they play, United kind of don't have that because the wingers aren't quick enough. Arsenal are kind of, they're people that like to cut inside, so then you can just get narrow and defend it. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think the width that City can possess, Chelsea just really struggle to defend against that. And
they both kind of want possession.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's also the tricky bit, because City, when I look at City's team, they've got conventional people in every position. So like, they've not got both of their wingers are like traditional wingers. So their number nine, traditional number nine, midfielders, traditional, all of them. In terms of like, what you would think of stereotypes.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June.
Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Typically, as how this position is supposed to be played, that's the kind of people City have in those positions. I think it's going to be a great game. One thing I will say, though, as much as like I think City do have a chance, is that these sorts of games, Emma Hayes just wants a draw because,
because they're 6 points, so she always thinks,
yeah,
we win it at home,
yeah,
and we take the draw away. Mm-hmm. And then we just don't lose any of our other games. And they'll still win the... Do you know what I mean? Like, think of how Arsenal on top of them in the Emirates game still draw.
Yeah.
Like, they know how to find a way. But I do feel like that's going to be one of the games of the weekend. It's going to be a great game to win. Definitely. Like, we're being spoilt with that game being on, I think.
Yeah. No, I mean, like I said, I personally don't like it. But the women's weekend scheduling
is,
you know, if there's a time when you're thinking, you know, I'm actually going to, it's men's international break. I ain't got much to do. They really, you know, women's football weekend, really, they put some good matches on for people to watch.
I remember Manchester Derby, women's football weekend, Tobin Heath goal. Listen, we've seen some great things, women's football weekends. Hopefully we get more this week. Yeah. And a final game I was going to touch on for this weekend is Reading versus Brighton. So bottom of the table clash. Let's say, how do you think that game is going to go? And in short, who do you think is going to win?
How do I think, or how do I want it to go?
How do you think it's going to go?
I think Reading will win.
Okay.
I think Reading are really unlucky sometimes. Yeah, I think they're better than their league position.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Brighton are not good. And they haven't been good for a while.
I didn't want to say it.
Yeah, but they're not the, you know, they're sacked Hope Power, but I just don't really think things have improved since they did that.
Mm-hmm.
Another manager.
Yeah. I mean, they somehow got themselves to the FA Cup semi-final, but I just don't think. I think Reading will win. I think there's enough quality in the Reading side. What I want is a draw because I don't want anybody running away from those positions. But I think Reading will beat them.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if Brighton win, but I kind of want them to get something out of it. I want that bottom three, not including Spurs, to be entertaining. Juicy. Like, I want what we've got in the men's right now. I want it in WSL in the last game of the day of the season.
For there to be like five teams that could get relegated.
Do you know what I mean? Also,
Spurs have emerged from that.
Leicester versus Brighton on the last day of the season.
Yeah. And so, next week is Reading versus Leicester. So
yes, it's heating up. We've got some fantastic,
because right now there's 3 points between Leicester and Reading. Reading have 10 points, Brighton have 8, and Leicester have 7. So
Between Brighton and Leicester, also because Leicester right now are a hard team to beat.
Yeah, they are. They're probably out of the three.
They're showing
the most form in terms of actual performances.
And a great keeper.
Yeah. And I'm very happy that they're all kind of playing each other because obviously we've got Arsenal. Our next game is then Everton, so it's going to be a tough game. So if they're all kind of playing each other, at least not everybody has the opportunity to maximise points whilst we're probably getting zero. But I mean, it's nice because when we think about when we were recording at the beginning of the season, we're like, bye-bye, Leicester.
Yeah, honestly. We did the mid-season podcast and Marva said, we're going to put it in there. Marva Defo said, something's telling her Leicester are staying up. And you know what it is? I think it was like 3 weeks ago.
I think I said Leicester are going to surprise us.
Yeah. And we were like but then 3 weeks ago, I said Marvel was right.
Yeah, that's true.
Marvel was right, 10,000%.
And also, since getting Willy Kirk, I'm like, it's a great appointment.
Yeah.
He was plotting on that job, but let me just.
Yeah,
but he was definitely plotting, because what were you doing there? Now ask yourself what he was doing at the club.
Just like, does anyone need a tea?
Yeah, like, let's be real. What was he actually doing at the club? And then it was just like, we got sacked. Who did we have? And they opened their eyes and he was standing in front of them. Well, come on, man.
I think they just had a fantastic January.
Yeah.
I think out of those of us at the bottom, probably the best January.
Yeah.
Completely agree. That's the end of part one. We are gonna go into part two. We have to touch on Champions League. We obviously know what happened in the first leg. So it was 4-1 results. 1-0 Barcelona against Roma, 1-0 to Bayern against Arsenal, 1-0 to Chelsea against Lyon, and 1-0 to Wolfsburg against PSG.
Jeez.
It's funny because
I remember that
in my head, like when the results were 1-0 to the Arsenal, and then the ones that lost.
Honestly. So we have, listen, they're all tight ties right now. We've got some great fixtures coming up. How do you see game number one? Let's call it game number one. How do you see game number one? Well, game number two, actually. Going, so Barcelona Roma, how do you see that going in the next leg?
I think Barca have it, they should have it,
especially
if that had ended a draw, then you'd maybe be a bit like possibly, but I think Barca, it should be more comfortable for Barca, but Roma keeper had a stormer, to be fair to her.
She has been like, since qualifiers, she has been,
but Roma had some chances, so I just think going to Barcelona when you've got that crowd behind you, I'd be surprised if Barcelona didn't get. And I think they'd be very disappointed if they didn't get through. Out of all the draws, you'd say that was the easiest draw to have.
Yeah,
so they should be getting through.
That shocked me the most.
Yeah, there was just one.
I expected Barcelona to have it.
They did have a lot of chances.
Yeah,
to
and they missed a lot of chances, but yeah, I think they've raised the bar as well in terms of attendances at the camp now. Even though there was nearly 40,000 that turned out at Roma,
it was a great turnout.
Yeah, absolutely incredible. You could when you're watching the kind of stream on YouTube, but you could feel that, you could still hear and feel the atmosphere. But yeah, I just think that the Barcelona will have too much quality in their own house. To be honest, yeah.
Game number two, Arsenal versus Bayern at the Emirates. How do you see that going?
It's a really tough one, actually, because I think
going first.
Arsenal could have got something. I mean, in all these games, obviously, they all ended 1-0, so they all could have got something. And having that home advantage, I think the thing is, though, is Bayern can kind of just set up shop a bit. And like we've discussed, Arsenal aren't necessarily known for taking their chances.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd have to break them down a lot and be sure to be clinical when they do get those chances. So I think in that sense, it will go against them a bit, but it kind of depends how Bayern set up. But I think, Arsenal will be gunning for this one. Like they have to, you know what I mean? And their fans will be well up for it. So I'm excited for the game, but I do think Bayern probably have this one locked in.
Lauren?
Yeah, I think, to be honest, I think the way Arsenal actually played, even though they lost, I think they can take full confidence into the second leg, because I have no idea how they didn't score, to be honest. But
how often do we say that about
Arsenal? That is also true.
True.
But I think it's quite nice that there's no longer an away goal rule, because if you're 1-0 up, you think, well, if we get another one, then you need to score three. Yeah, but also, if you're 1-0 down, you think, oh, we only need to get one. But I don't know, I think Bayern are solid defensively, and I think Arsenal wrote the game plan for them by not getting a goal. So I think I agree. I think Bayern will probably just sit back, play on the counter attack, and they still have quality in their team to score, I think, if they need to.
Yeah, massively.
So I think Bayern will hold on.
Bayern hold on. Game two, Wolfsburg versus Paris Saint-Germain.
PSG should have won that game. They had way too many chances to not have won that game. Also, they got done over with that penalty decision.
Yeah. I still don't get it, really. I still don't get why, after going to the... Like, if anything, once you've gone to the monitor, it should have just been...
Because usually, especially like VAR, once you go to the monitor and you see contact, you go, all right, cool, this is going to be given. Like, even when it's not that clear, you go, but there is contact, you can see it on the monitor, cool.
Yeah, and they've sent me over here.
That's the thing. Not give it. And then also the handball, the other way, I'm like... It's an I get it, but it's an annoying one. She clearly didn't put her hands like fully up. Mm-hmm. It's like, so I think they can be, they can feel a bit hard done by in that sense. And also, that was at Wolfsburg, right?
No, that was at PSG. It was at PSG. Yeah. So they're in trouble now.
Yeah, that's
they're in trouble. I think that was.
I think like you're saying, you kind of don't trust PSG in a way, even though they've got the talent. You just don't trust them to.
If they had full strength team, I could have. But this ain't.
The thing is, I think it's a good chance that Wolfsburg win it and then just go out the next round. I don't really think Wolfsburg are that amazing at the moment.
Yeah, last year I would have said yes. I would have said
they're still hard to beat.
No, they are still hard to beat.
It is like, it's the same with, you know, like we talk about Chelsea in the league. It's like when you've got that tournament experience, when you have that confidence in yourself, you never know.
It's true.
Yeah, I can't. I feel like when the opportunity has been gifted to you at home, and you don't take it, I don't, you know, like Wolfsburg have got the experience, I think, to kind of come back home, and do whatever it takes to get the job done. But I feel like with VAR, I mean, it's not as soon as we complain about it with the men's game. So as soon as it's there, it's always going to keep making mistakes. Because the standard of refereeing just needs to be a bit higher. But
completely agree.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. What I think is disgraceful, actually disgraceful, is that
the Zimmerman red card.
let me go off on a tangent. Is that you don't have the same technology across the games. How can you not have consistent? How can you have some grounds that have like goal line technology and then some that don't, and you're allowing the clubs to choose? Like, for me, if you write the rules and then your referee or whoever it is there to enforce the rules, you should be paying for all of the technology that's involved in enforcing the rules. And I just don't think it's fair. Like, I can completely understand that you want to introduce it in the quarterfinals, but unless you have consistency, so there's goal line technology or the same amount of cameras that they're using for VAR at every ground, I just think this is the highest level of women's football in Europe. And it's just, for me, it's just a bit of a joke. So it's beyond the debating decisions, because that's all we ever do with VAR, we debate decisions. But actually, the professionalism, terrible. But yeah, but PSG didn't do enough, so I Wolfsburg, but yeah.
Shout out you refs. That's a nice little shout out from Lauren. And the final
more UEFA.
And the final game 2, Chelsea versus Lyon.
I mean, if we talk about Champions League heritage coming through, then Lyon, man, they just have something. But more than ever, this is Chelsea's time. Because once you win this game as well, like, Barca aren't the team that they were when Chelsea played. Well, the gap isn't as big between Chelsea and Barca when, you know, they got battered in that final. So once you go and beat Lyon, if you do, I don't think any other team is miles beyond Chelsea at all right now. So this is your time. Like, you have to, it has to go and happen. But I think the difference, though, is while there aren't that many teams way beyond Chelsea or way beyond English teams, I think there are a lot of good teams, right? Like, this is, for me, this is the, and you can see it in the results, like, this is the highest quality quarterfinalists we've seen in a very long time.
There's
a lot of good teams who could all beat each other. And that's why it's hard to call what the game two is in all of these. Which is all my long way of saying I don't know.
The excellent teams aren't playing excellent right now. And the good teams are playing good. So do you got what I mean?
Like, it all balances out. Good. And I just think all of them have, other than Roma, who even them showed something. They all have moments. Either they have talent in their squad that can produce a moment, or they have sort of heritage that their kind of mentality will pull them through. So I just think, there's I would have said Lyon are the standout team just because they still have a load of talent and they have that heritage and they seem to just be able to do it basically every season.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, I don't know. I think there's
an opportunity.
There's a big opportunity here for Chelsea. And at the Bridge, you've got to take it home. Let's go.
Yeah. Lauren?
Do you know what? I think ahead of game one, when we called it, I said Lyon. But based on what I saw, do I think that Emma Hayes is going to allow her Chelsea team to come back from Lyon with a 1-0 lead and then not go through? I don't know. I think Chelsea did enough in the away leg to then come and protect. Because, I mean, Chelsea should have had another goal. That ball from Lauren James and then Sam Kerr just missed. Mm-hmm. She didn't even hit the target.
Or Lauren James hitting the post.
Yeah, like I there's still... It could have been worse for Lyon. And I think if Chelsea kind of, you know, I can imagine that at some point in that game, the waves and waves of attack from Lyon will come because they're going to be like, this is our tournament, move out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
But Chelsea can still have that quality to play the ball in behind. That's the MO. I think they will get through this bit, but even though Barcelona are not playing as well as we have seen because Alexia's not in the team, that stylistic,
mm-hmm.
the same way they struggle against City, I think they will struggle against Barcelona because City and Barcelona have similar characteristics in the way that they approach the football match.
Sure.
And yeah, sorry, no one's going to forget that final. So, and I don't think the players will either. For now, I think Chelsea will do enough. I kind of wish they were inverted. So that Chelsea and Barcelona wouldn't meet each other in the semis. But hey ho, someone should have pulled out different balls.
It's true. I think the same roughly as you two, to be honest. It's funny, I don't think Lyon play well on big pitches, which is funny because we watched them in the final and they did play well. But I think them playing on a big playing on a big pitch works when they're playing against a tiki-taka team like Barcelona. Do you get what I mean? That
they can just spread it wide, run.
That's what I'm saying. Like with Barcelona, the space, like for example, if they leave space in behind, they know Barcelona aren't going to go long. So like there's still time for them to get back. There's so many stages that Barcelona will do before they get to your end that I feel like it was fine. Chelsea yesterday were going so direct, and I feel like in the next leg they're going to go so direct again because Lyon just leaves so much space in behind.
Sanko must be so tired. She had to chase.
Space in behind at King's Meadow and space in behind at a big stadium are two completely different things. Like there's a lot of space now. And I feel like that's where they're going to struggle. I think Chelsea have they have a great chance, a really, really good chance. But yeah, we'll just see. Because one thing that we all said, Champions League heritage, it's not a joke. But one thing I've always maintained on Lyon is you can beat them if it's not the semi or the final. Yeah, I feel like the best time to beat them, well, the only time you're beating them is in the
last time you're beating
them. The last time you're beating them is the quarterfinal. Once it gets past the quarterfinal, it's long. So this is Chelsea's chance, man.
Yeah,
this is Chelsea's chance. We'll end it there on Champions League. We'll see what happens. We'll reevaluate once on the next pod. We'll see what happens, if we were right, if we were wrong. We do have a couple of listeners' questions. If I can find them. Oh yes, the first. I'm pretending like I have it. Like, hold on. Oh yes. So, Tima actually asked, your thoughts on the Champions League this season, which you've gone over, but who do you think is going to make it through to the final? It's funny because, like, you could end up saying someone that could get out in the quarters.
Yeah, like, anyone could.
Yeah, mine's going to have to be conditional.
No, you can't make it conditional. You have to just say two teams.
Think about who you think is
getting through,
and also who they're going to play next.
That's why it's conditional, because depending on who goes through, I think depends.
But who do you think is going? You just said that you think Wolfsburg and Bayern.
I think Wolfsburg will get to the final on their half of the draw. Okay. I'll stake a claim and say that. But I think the other half of the draw, if Chelsea, I think Barcelona will go through. I think if Chelsea beat Leon, they will lose to Barcelona. But if Leon beat Chelsea, Leon would knock out Barcelona.
I agree.
So that's why it's conditional, depending on.
I'll give you that, Lauren. I think Bayern will be in the final over.
Actually think Bayern will be in the final over Wolfsburg as well.
Yeah. But.
Georgia Stammer, they're backing you.
Yeah.
I am.
Listen, I like Bayern. I like Bayern's team.
But yeah, it's so hard to call.
But you have to make your call, guys.
All right, I'm going to say.
You stick your neck out.
I'm going to say Bayern Chelsea.
Okay.
No, I'm not. I'm going to say Bayern. I'm going to say Bayern Barcelona.
Okay, Bayern Barcelona for Marvel.
Wolfsburg Barcelona.
Okay. Thank you, Seema. According to Marva, it's going to be a Bayern-Barcelona final. And according to Lauren, it's going to be a Wolfsburg-Barcelona final.
And Moya?
See how she's dodging?
You wanted to move on to the next question.
I'm hosting. I think it's going to be a Bayern... In fact, do you know what's funny?
PSG.
I think it's going to be an Arsenal.
Ooh.
I think it's going to be an Arsenal Barcelona final.
Ooh.
Fair.
That would be.
The thing is what I'm excited about is any of these matchups I'd be excited about.
Yeah. Same. Yeah.
I mean, maybe like Wolfsburg Roma would be a bit like that.
Yeah.
But any of those, Chelsea, Barcelona, Bayern, Wolfsburg, PSG, any of those against each other,
mm-hmm.
I think it's a good final and I'd be excited about.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
So let's just see what happens. We've all made some claims. Don't worry, I'll bring this back up. I'll write it down and I'll bring it back up another time. And then the last question that we're going to do is, someone said, Chelsea are unfortunately probably winning the league. who's coming second and third behind them? For you guys, and it's just a one word. It's not a
no, because I've been on so many podcasts.
Yeah, you just said different. I know you've been saying different stuff.
Because it changes day to day.
We're gonna run the clip back, Marva. Because you said something on the first day. You said something the first time you recorded, and you said something on the halfway point.
No, that's fine. That was a normal time in between.
All right.
No, can't change your mind.
No, you can.
Talking about in the last 2 weeks. I've been asked this question on multiple different platforms and I don't even remember what I said.
You give a different answer every time because at least you can drag one clip.
I'm going to search for them on Twitter. When this pod comes out, I'm going to be like, Marva on this date said this, on this date said this. Okay, so second for you.
I'm trying to remember what I said.
Think of which one you think now. All right,
I think there's a good chance Arsenal are going to miss out.
Interesting.
On top three. I think City are going to be in there. But then I can't really see United coming second.
maybe City come second though.
Yeah.
Like it's going to depend heavily on this week week's results. Because City play Arsenal next week.
City play Arsenal next week.
So if City beat Arsenal again... Then I think they should all stand in the road and get egged. That's the truth of it. Like, if we miss out this year, they're not gonna get any sympathy from me. I promise you that. No excuses.
Having said that, I'm just gonna put it out. I'm gonna go
Chelsea,
United.
All right, Lauren.
Chelsea, United, City.
Okay.
Moya,
please. if we're counting what we've said along the way,
she's gonna say Chelsea, City, Arsenal, just so she can be like.
I'm being deadly serious. I actually think it's going to be Chelsea, City, and then Arsenal.
You don't think United will do it?
Nah, something is telling me right now that we're gonna miss out.
Really?
Yeah, even though
what are the fixtures?
But my thing is, I don't think we're going to lose any other game Yeah. In fact, all we need to do is not drop points against everyone else. Mm. And then we still have to play Arsenal and City. As long as we don't lose both of those games, I think we should be fine. But the problem comes with if one of those two teams decide to get points against Chelsea, that's when we're going to now be in a palaver.
Yeah, but I also think it's going to be dependent on how far Arsenal and Chelsea also go in the Champions League.
It's not, man. They've got enough. They've got enough.
No, so because let's not act as if the semi-finals come before.
But what I will say is that in the league, to play everyone else, like, for example, Arsenal don't need to play their starting 11 to beat Reading, to beat Brighton, to beat Spurs, to beat Leicester. Do you know what I mean? Mark Skinner's playing. Mark Skinner,
We'll play Ella Toon,
Mary Earp, Alessa Russo against Burnley. So please,
too much. Like looking at those pictures, everyone basically still has to play each other. Like there's too much in the balance.
And that's what the only reason why I think that we may fit. It's going to be the closest. We've missed out by 1 point once, like 2 years ago. I feel like if we miss out, it's going to be by 1 point again, and. As I said, 1 point, 10 points, 6 points, they deserve to get egged. Because, like,
do you know, I think going into the final day, the last game, I think the title will be won.
I don't think so, you know.
Second, third, and fourth will be decided on the last game.
I don't think the title is going to be won before the final day, you know.
Do you think Chelsea are going to do that thing where they're just like, oh, we'll give you a little bone?
I think City are going to get points against Chelsea this weekend, and that will make it not go to the final. That will make it go to the final day.
But it'll be one where, like, Chelsea just need to win, then it's done.
Oh, yeah.
Like it was last season. It's like, as long as Chelsea win, then you're fine.
Yeah. Thank God we're not going King's Middle on the final day again. I can't deal with that shit anymore. I swear to you.
That was a great game.
That was an absolutely, like, what the hell was I watching, man? We've made our predictions. I'm really hoping I'm wrong on that one. I would love us to get top three. But we won't. If we get it, we deserve it. And if we don't, we don't.
I honestly don't remember United. what I've said on all my panels.
I think United have shown enough this season.
All I'm saying is us all basically being level on points is where the problem is going to start. You always want a cushion.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I get you.
Yeah, but then it's about playing under pressure, ultimately.
Boy, that's what I'm saying. Let me see what these are on. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for listening. It's been another episode of the Gold Diggers podcast. Make sure to follow on Gold Diggers UK on Twitter and Gold Diggers UK _ on Instagram. Don't be surprised if I ask what a bag is.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.